You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Lucky number 13 for the Bucks. 13 straight wins against the Sacramento Kings. A lot has changed with both of these franchises through the years, but what remains constant is the Bucks beating the Kings. The last time Sacramento beat the Bucks was 2016. Last time they beat the Bucks in Milwaukee, you had to go back to right before Thanksgiving in 2015 when the Kings beat the Bucks at the Bradley Center. But this 13-game win streak against the Kings is the longest streak the Bucks have against any team in the NBA, longest current streak the Bucks have. It now moves past the Orlando Magic, which was also a 12-game streak. And more importantly, in terms of streaks, eight straight games now for Giannis, having scored 30 or more points. That is one short of the season high set by Luka Doncic. And the team that the Bucks will face Friday night, the Dallas Mavericks, Luka scoring 30-plus in the first nine games of this season. We'll see if Giannis can match that when he squares off with Luka on Friday night. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk and get your thoughts on another win where the offense really shined against a good offensive team in the Sacramento Kings, and just the overall feeling of, we talked about this a little bit on the game broadcast, how much different this year feels, and by that I mean better, seeing a nearly full complement of players. You've been very healthy. I know you've dealt with a lot of man games lost to injury, but you've had Giannis, knock on wood, for most of this season. You've had Drew Holiday, knock on wood, for most of the season. You've had Brooke Lopez for all but one game this season. It's really just been waiting for Chris Middleton to return, waiting for Pat Connaughton to return, and now you're just waiting on Joe Ingles, who's doing more and more on the floor. And look, we talked about last week some of the tweets that were coming out of, could it be a Christmas Day surprise? I'm still in the camp of, I'll believe it when I see it, and I would tend to believe it's going to be a January or later return for Joe Ingles. But it is worth noting, he's starting to do more. He looks pretty good. He looks pretty spry. And the Bucks aren't going to ask him to do much, especially when you see what this team did once again tonight in terms of their offensive production. 34 assists, a lot of ball movement, 66 points combined from Giannis and Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton is starting to get back into the flow. Brooke Lopez has been good throughout this season. He had moments of Bobby Portis. He had moments of Grayson Allen. This offense continues to get better, and now it's just a matter of fine-tuning this defense with everybody into place. The Bucks won by their defense the first month of the season, really figuring out how to really grind these games out and make these defensive games. And now defense is going to change a little bit as you reintroduce some of these players for the better. But in the meantime, you still got to figure out some of those schemes and everything else. But so far, so good for the Bucks, who are 12 games above 500 with another win, taking down the Sacramento Kings tonight and extending that win streak to 13 straight wins over the Sacramento Kings in this series. And a majority of those have been by double figures. Just four times in that 13-game streak has the margin of victory been a two-possession game or less for the Bucks. So a lot of dominant wins against this Sacramento Kings team. A few things of note here. What we saw from this Bucks offense, an offense that put up 126 points, but I think this was a helpful game for this team as you start to move into the late portion of the schedule. Once you get into the second half in the playoffs, you saw some things from the Kings tonight that you got to believe you're going to see quite a bit of. So to get some of those reps and figure out how to combat that was very, very nice. And also to try and figure out how to utilize everyone when you have a full-strength team. Where does Grayson Allen fit into things? When can you get Bobby Portis some of those looks? How do you balance the big four, if we're being honest, and Giannis, Chris, Drew, and Brooke Lopez? So a lot of things I think we can start to take away moving forward in this win over the Kings tonight. I'll explain what I mean after this on Bucks Talk. .126-113 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks win their 13th in a row against the Kings. Giannis scores 30 or more for the 8th straight game, the longest streak of his career, and the second longest streak in the NBA this season. And now back on the road as the Bucks head to Texas for 2, Friday night in Dallas with the Mavs, Sunday night in Houston with the Rockets. A lot of road games here, but this is a really intriguing schedule. We've talked about this a number of times throughout the course of this month. I do not recall a schedule like this in the past where up until the final two games of the month, you are traveling the day of every game. There aren't multiple home games or consecutive home games, I should say. So you're hitting the road following those games. You're flying back from road cities or continuing your road trip on those games, a five-game road trip coming up in about 10 days from now, all one-offs for home games. You only got five home games in this month, but they're all intriguing home games. Tonight, a Sacramento Kings team, we kind of joked about it, but they're also kind of serious. A lot of buzz surrounding this Kings team. And as you watch this game, you can see why. It's a much different team than the last time the Kings came to Milwaukee with any bit of buzz on them 4 years ago. Less than a month into this building opening, it was the Bucks and the Kings early November. Kings entered that game at 6-3. The Bucks were 9-1. And that was the year you were really starting to think, well, maybe this is the year that the Kings snap this playoff drought. Maybe it finally ends at 12. Spoiler alert, it would not, and it extended to 16. But you were starting to buy into some of the buzz around the Kings then, as we saw that fizzled out. But going back to that year, there's only one player remaining on the roster from that version of the Kings, and that is De'Aaron Fox, who's made quite a bit of strides so far this year. He's been a much better offensive player. He's been much more efficient. He's cut down on the turnovers. And he's a guy that had a big spotlight cast on him after the trade last year, where it was pretty evident it's not working with both De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. You got to pick a lane here. You can make a strong case the Kings may have picked the wrong lane in watching what Tyrese Halliburton is going on to do so far this season with the Indiana Pacers. But nonetheless, you chose to ride with De'Aaron Fox. You got to make the best of it. And he has taken his game to another level this year. It's a nice team. You can see the differences in the fourth quarter tonight. Where in years past, when the Bucks would go on these runs, that's a Kings team that would likely fold. Tonight, they didn't go away. They knocked the margin down to one. They hung tough all the way until the very end. This is a Kings team that's going to hang around for a while. So in that sense, this is a nice win by the Bucks. But as we continue to mention, Kings are a nice story so far. It's still a team you should beat. And I know the Bucks are very, very close to full strength now. You're just waiting on Joe Ingles. But you really got to win these types of games against the teams that you should beat, because the schedule not only is difficult in this month in terms of the home-road split, the remaining home games are tough matchups as well, where you've got the Golden State Warriors, who have gone through their share of struggles, but still talked about this three-point defense by the Bucks and how it's improved. It's going to need to be improved against Steph Curry, against Klay Thompson, who just had a big three-point shooting game, against Jordan Poole, who had a big game tonight as well. Your defense is going to be tested by the Warriors next week. Utah Jazz have kind of fallen back to earth a little bit, but they've still been a good team so far this season. That is another game you should win, but an interesting test nonetheless. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, late in the month, you're not going to see Karl Anthony Towns, but you're still going to see Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert. It's an interesting, to say the least, Timberwolves team. So there's a lot of intrigue surrounding these home matchups that the Bucks have. But those are the games you really need to win, because the road games are incredibly tough. in Memphis against the Grizzlies, a five-game swing that features teams like the Brooklyn Nets, who I mentioned on the network, have kind of started to figure it out. Now that they've reintroduced Kyrie Irving to the floor, Kevin Durant has played like an MVP this season and is one of those handful of players, seven to be exact, averaging 30 or more at the midpoint, quarter point, I should say, in the season. The Nets are suddenly fourth in the East. They're on the road trip. The Boston Celtics have done nothing but be the best team in basketball this season in terms of standings and in the metrics. They're on that road trip. And the Chicago Bulls, who already beat you here in Milwaukee, going through their struggles, sure. But those are competitive games when the Bucks and the Bulls play the last few years. They're on the road trip as well. So a very, very tough, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, a tough five-game road trip. And all these road games, for the most part, are very, very tough games. So games like tonight, games like that Jazz game, games like Sunday night, quite frankly, in Houston against the Rockets, these are games you got to win because, keep saying, the Bucks and the Celtics are clearly the two best teams in the Eastern Conference and maybe even in basketball for that matter. But who knows what's going to happen in the second half of the season? Who knows who's going to be on the buyout market? Who's going to go where through buyouts or trades? And who knows what that schedule is going to do or what injuries are going to do, not just to the Bucks, but to other teams. So take care of business against those teams you should beat while you can. And so far, the Bucks have done that, including tonight. And that's why they're 12 games above 500 now on the season. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk with your thoughts on the 13th straight win over the Sacramento Kings, the longest active streak the Bucks have over any other team in the NBA this season. I will get you updated on that score out in Phoenix if anything changes there, but what we've kind of learned so far in the season is you're not going to get help. You got to assume the Boston Celtics are going to win on a nightly basis, which is going to make that Christmas Day matchup even more intriguing. And that's one of the nice things about the NBA schedule as well, about the Bucks and the Celtics not being in the same division and spreading out their games this season. These two teams, clearly the best teams in their conference, and the more you see, they're clearly the best two teams in basketball, and they're not going to play for the first time until Christmas Day. Christmas Day is already the biggest day on the NBA calendar. That game is in a marquee spot. The Bucks are playing in that 5 o'clock time zone now. That is going to be one of the more highly anticipated regular season games we have seen the Bucks play in the last few years. And look, we've taken regular seasons for granted, especially once you win a championship. As you're on the ascent, you look at those regular season games. And you remember the first year of this building, Bucks started 7-0, and you start to look at some of the opponents. You start to look at every time the Bucks and the Raptors played, and you circled that on the calendar and thought, man, this will be a good game. The Bucks and the Celtics turned in some good games throughout the years. Bucks and the Wizards, surprisingly, had some good games in this building. A Chris Middleton 50-point game, a Bradley Beal 50-point game. Bucks and the Sixers have always seemingly had those competitive games. But the more successful this team has become in the postseason, the less you've really paid attention to the regular season. A little different when you look at that game on the 25th against the Boston Celtics with the way both of these teams are playing so far this season. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. You like what you see from the offense as this team continues to get closer to being full strength. But where did this game fully turn? I mentioned the Bucks did not trail since the opening quarter. There were moments where we saw this Kings team make things close, but the Bucks would not allow the Kings to reclaim the lead. We'll get to the turning point and reveal who the sub of the game was after this on Bucks Talk. .126-113 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks get past the Kings at our 12 games above 500 on the season. Not good news out of the desert where the Phoenix Suns are getting obliterated by the Boston Celtics. So it does not appear the Bucks are going to gain any ground on the Celtics. likely to be two games back of Boston for the best record in basketball when you wake up tomorrow. It is 80-44 right now. The Celtics up on the Suns about midway through the third quarter. But as we mentioned, Bucks trailed this game in the opening quarter about midway through, would take the lead for good at that point. The Kings would make things close on a handful of occasions, but the Bucks would answer those runs and would not look back. So there was one sequence in particular that really stood out as when the Bucks put this one away for good. It wasn't in the third quarter where the Bucks started to build up that lead. It wasn't even in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth, where the Bucks again pushed the margin to double figures, but the Kings wouldn't go away. An 8-0 run made this close, but our turning point of the game comes to us from the recently returned Chris Middleton, whose big shot helped the Bucks hold off the Kings.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
Yes, sir! What a shot! Cash money! Smooth operator!
Chris Middleton with a corner three-pointer late in this game, helping the Bucks seal this one. During a stretch there where the Bucks were up by a dozen, the Kings started to slice into that lead, but Chris Middleton with that shot, he made a couple of them down the stretch. That three-pointer, though, the biggest of the shots that Chris Middleton made late in this game, and it gave the Bucks just enough separation over the Kings tonight, extending the lead at the time to 4 and helping the Bucks put this one on ice. Their 18th win of the season, now 18-6. And a game and a half back of the Boston Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Giannis looking for 9 straight games with 30 points. He will do that on Friday night against the Dallas Mavericks. And if you can hear that, the sound you hear in the background, or are hearing in the background, is roughly 400 fans inside a Fiserv Forum yet, as this was Greek night. So this night was all about Giannis in many ways. You had, if you were at the game, the Giannis dad joke bobblehead that was given out to the first 10,000 fans here. You had Greek nights inside the arena. This was one day after Giannis's birthday. And yet Giannis scoring 35 points and extending his streak to 8 straight games, having done so. By the way, the second longest streak in Bucks history. But there's about 400-ish fans still inside the building here waiting for the Adetokounmpo brothers, who have made their way to the floor, handing out some gifts and addressing the crowd here on Greek night. It has become an annual tradition here in Milwaukee, but Giannis and Thanasis currently addressing those fans in the building yet and doing a raffle to hand out some prizes and sign some autographs for the largely Greek contingency of fans still here in the building. So a very, very interesting night here inside of Fiserv Forum with another Bucks victory over the Kings and another Bucks victory in general so far this season. We got to the turning points. We mentioned a lot of success from the starting five. 31 from Jrue Holiday, 35 points from Giannis, Brook Lopez in double figures again. All five starters were in double figures. And Grayson Allen getting there. Chris Middleton starting to look more and more comfortable. Not that he didn't in his return. Best game we've seen from Chris so far was maybe his first game against the Lakers, but you really started to see some of the passing tonight from Chris. The starting lineup made a huge impact in this game tonight. We still have to shine the light on the bench and see who had the biggest impact with the second unit. We will reveal the sub of the game next on Bucks Talk. .126-113 final score here on Greek night at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks take care of the Sacramento Kings. Two streaks remain intact. 13 straight Bucks wins over the Kings, and now 8 straight games with 30 points or more from Giannis. The turning point was a big Chris Middleton, a clutch Chris Middleton three-pointer from the corner late in this game. But Chris Middleton, not our sub of the game. Time to reveal which player from the second unit had the biggest impact in this game, our sub of the game.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
Tonight's sub of the game is Bobby Portis. We thought it was going to be a bigger game statistically from Bobby, but you had a big first quarter from Bobby Portis, who was really starting to feel it and take over offensively. Bucks were really getting to the free throw line and dominating in the paint. That started early in this game. Bobby Portis was a big piece behind that. Final numbers for Bobby in this one, just 7 points and five rebounds, so he does not get a double-double in this game. But you got some more of those moments that we've continued to mention so far this season, looking for those vintage Bobby moments where you get the crowd going. He feeds off of that energy from that crowd as well. Starting to see a little bit more of that from Bobby Portis, and we saw it in the opening quarter tonight. Of those 7 points, five came in the opening quarter, 5 points and two rebounds in the first quarter for Bobby Portis. But he led the bench in scoring tonight with 7 points, his five rebounds, second most off the bench to only Pat Connaughton. And really, in terms of players who made an impact from the second unit tonight, a sizable impact, was Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton. Bobby gave you that energy early. Pat Connaughton hit some big shots late. So if you can combine the two into one, our sub of the game would be Bobby Connaughton. But Bobby Portis gets it tonight for leading the bench and scoring with 7 points of those 19 that the Bucks' second unit scored in this victory tonight. So 19 points from the bench to 27 for the Kings. But the noticeable stats and the ones that we had really spent a lot of time about on the pregame and throughout the course of this game, keep an eye on these. The Bucks won, and we stress the importance of winning these categories. The Bucks won in the paint. It's an area they have struggled with in recent games here. Think back to last week when he gave up 134 points over a two-game span to the Knicks and the Lakers. Same thing, outscored in the paint by the Charlotte Hornets on Saturday despite the win. You did outscore the Magic, but not quite to the standards we've seen for most of this season. So it was good to see that productivity in the paint tonight. 56 points in the paint for the Bucks. 18 of those 56 came from Jrue Holiday. And that, frankly, started almost everything offensively for the Bucks. It started a lot of that ball movement and the 34 assists. A couple of things played into that, but Jrue Holiday was a big piece to it. We heard Grayson Allen after the game, or heard from Grayson Allen, who said, look, this is a Kings team that they want to force you to make the extra pass. And the Bucks had no problem doing that tonight. They were moving the ball around, and that led to a season-high 34 assists. But what was really big for their points in the paint and for their ball movement overall was the way Jrue Holiday played throughout the course of this game. De'Aaron Fox is not a great defensive matchup for Jrue Holiday. Just not enough size. He has some length, but not enough size to slow down Jrue Holiday. And from the onset, we saw Jrue Holiday playing bully ball, getting his way into the paint and underneath the basket because De'Aaron Fox couldn't slow him down. And once he got that far into the lane, it was either an easy layup for Jrue Holiday or a floater, or it was Jrue Holiday kicking out to an open man and the Bucks taking advantage there with one of their 14 threes or a number of open looks that they had throughout the course of the night. So the way Jrue Holiday played was big in turning a lot of this around for the Bucks in terms of their paint success. Points in the paint, a big, big thing to keep an eye on. 56 to 48 for the Bucks. The other thing we mentioned was it's a Sacramento Kings team that does pretty well in terms of their defensive rebounding efficiency. Now, you did wonder how much of that has to do with the Kings being good on the defensive glass versus how much of this is the opposition saying, we're not going to crash the offensive glass. This is a Kings team that plays the fastest pace in basketball. They like to push it. We heard from Mike Brown before the game saying, look, we want to get out in transition. We want to push this pace. You could see him on the sidelines throughout most of this game motioning and pleading with his team, get up and down the floor, push the pace, even on made shots. He wanted this team, and Bud said this is something they do well, wanted them to play at a faster pace in the half court as well, not just speaking in transition. Bucks were able to really limit that with their work on the offensive glass. Two things slowed down the Kings' pace in this game. Bucks pulled down 17 offensive rebounds and basically said, we do this well. We're not going to change our strategy because the Kings are a team that plays at a fast pace. We're going to force them to play slower by giving them less transition opportunities and us getting the offensive rebounds and second chances. If they got to take the ball out of the net, in other words, if we make a basket, they're not pushing the pace and trying to catch us in awkward positions defensively as we cross midfloor there. So the Bucks did a good job there. 17 offensive rebounds, 25 second chance points. They more than doubled up the Kings in both of those categories. That was key. Overall rebounding was a key in this game as well. But those were the two areas that we've really seen struggles from for the Bucks: offensive rebounds, turning those into second chance points, and points in the paint. And especially now that this team is getting closer and closer to full strength, there are areas that this team should dominate against most teams in the NBA. So it was a good sign to see both of those go in the way of the Bucks tonight. And the other thing, not to get lost in the shuffle, it's a Sacramento Kings team that is one of the best in terms of the volume of threes they get and the overall shot profile that they take, the split that three-pointers is. Kings, by volume, take the most percentage of threes of any other team in the NBA this season. And what we mean by that, of your total field goal attempts, how many are threes? Kings have the largest percentage of three-point attempts. Kings are attempting the most threes in the league. Kings are very perimeter heavy, and you could see why with some of the additions they made. Harrison Barnes is your prototypical stretch four in this version of the NBA. Keegan Murray can step out and shoot it from deep. Kevin Huerter was a nice pickup. Malik Monk was a very nice pickup as well, as those are two guys you can play late in games. You can play almost any way offensively, and they can flat out score. It's a Kings team that pushes the pace and gets up a lot of shots. So it was really curious to see how are the Bucks going to slow this down, because perimeter defense has been very good for the Bucks so far this season. But you're really going to be tested against a team that plays at a fast pace and a team that takes a lot of threes. And the Bucks more than held up tonight. They held the Kings to their season average at just over 31%. 38 three-point attempts in this game for the Kings was down from their season average. 12 makes just down as well from their season average. So this Bucks transition defense did pretty well. Half-court defense did extremely well. Their perimeter defense more than held up as well. So a lot of positives to take from this one. I know it's just game number 24 here in the regular season, but this was a test for this Bucks defense and how they've continued to tweak throughout the course of this regular season. They were tested on the perimeter, and they passed the test tonight to get to 18-6 on the season. In case you missed any of it, we will recap how the Bucks picked up this win. The highlights are next on Bucks Talk.
Here are tonight's highlights. Here's Justin Garcia.
13-point win here in Santa Fe Surf Forum. The Bucks take care of the Kings, 126 to 113. Let's recap how we got to that final score with the highlights. Well, Giannis offensively, one of the major stories of the game for the Bucks. His 30-point streak continued. And early on, after the Kings scored the first 8 points, Bucks would start to figure things out offensively, as they often do from the duo of Chris Middleton and Giannis.
We'll say not up to the standards Mike Budenholzer would like, as it's a 10-2 run to start for the Kings, who have hit 4 or 5. Here's a lob-up top to Giannis, who flushes it through on the alley-oop.
8-0 run to start the game, a 10-2 margin, as you heard Dave mentioning there, but slowly but surely, the Bucks would start to erase that deficit. They would do just what we saw the Kings do throughout most of the course of the second half, and that was hang tough and make this a close game until midway through the opening quarter. A lot of offense here in the first 12 minutes, but midway through the opening quarter, the Bucks were in front for the first time behind Drew Holiday.
Holiday, he goes the other way as he trots it into the front court. He's going to squeeze off a transition three, and he sticks it from the right wing. So Milwaukee.
They would. So it looked like a three. We thought it was a three. They would rule it a two, making it 17-16. At the next timeout, they would check the video and reveal that was, in fact, a three-pointer and change the score to 18-16. So Drew Holiday getting on the board there as he had a big offensive game. But when we talk about the offense, it feels really good to have this man back on the floor, Chris Middleton, for his first triple.
Here's a three-pointer from Middleton. Top of the arc. He answers right back with another three straight on.
And by the way, it was 34-29 Bucks moving into the second quarter, so a lot of scoring. That Middleton triple would extend the Bucks' lead up to five in the second quarter. And then later in the second, points in the paint, the advantage the Bucks held there. They would build on it here. The two-man game wasn't Giannis and Drew Holiday. It was Brook Lopez getting the finish this time.
Holiday the other way. Lobs up top. Lopez with an easy flush on the second alley-oop of the night for Milwaukee.
Yeah, Brook Lopez very, very good once again in this one. Bucks would add 34 again in that quarter to give them 68 points at the half. With 68-61 Bucks at halftime. Lopez with a big half. Giannis with a big half. Drew Holiday with a big half as well. But offense overall was the story of the first 24 minutes. On to the second half. Where you mentioned that Bucks bench, the two main cogs there, Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton, really trade off responsibilities. You got the offense from Bobby Portis in the first half. In the second half, it was Pat Connaughton's turn.
Holiday, nice feed inside to Portis. Good ball action here out to Lopez. He feeds Connaughton, who drills the three with a foul.
But the other story of the third quarter was Drew Holiday, who did most of his damage in that frame. Finished the game, did Drew Holiday, with 31 points tonight. What he did all the way up until the fourth quarter was the biggest difference in this game. A 13-point third quarter, including some big shots.
From Holiday, down low to Lopez. Bounce pass out to Carter. He'll send out top, catch and shoot three from Holiday, and he rattles another one through. Give him 31 on the night. Drew Holiday, 12 of 19 from the floor. His second three ball of the game, and the Bucks lead by 11.
Two threes in this game is what he would finish with. 31 is what he would finish with as well. Would not score in the fourth quarter, but detonating in the third with those 13 points to keep the Bucks building up that lead, help the Bucks keep building up that lead. However, Kings would come on strong in the closing portions of the quarter, knocking the margin from 7.5 down to 3 points moving into the fourth quarter. But as we went through in the turning point, every time the Kings would make things close, the Bucks had an answer and would go on a run. They would ultimately put the game away with some big shots from Chris Middleton and Giannis. Maybe the biggest for Giannis in terms of the individual accolades came here when he extended his 30-point streak.
Giannis powers his shot off the window and good, and there's the 30 piece. Call it 8 games and counting to the Greek Freak.
8 straight games now with 30 points for Giannis. He finished this one with 35 points. He'll see if he can match the longest NBA streak this season. Friday night when the Bucks head to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. 9 games, the longest 30-point streak in the league this season. That was done by Luka Doncic of the Mavericks. The first 9 games of the season, Giannis will put his streak to the test and see if he can match that number 9 Friday night against the Mavericks. But those the highlights from tonight's 13-point win. So 13, the main number to focus on here, 13 straight wins against the Sacramento Kings. And 13, by the way, is the games above 500 the Bucks will be if they can win on Friday night in Dallas against the Mavericks. We will preview that game. Not a whole lot of unknown about the Dallas Mavericks, having just recently played them the weekend of Thanksgiving. But we'll take a look at that game and this Texas two-step as you wrap up your season series with both the Mavs and the Houston Rockets this weekend. We'll preview the road trip next as we wrap things up on Bucks Talk.
they can stop me now.
Well, there will be a night that the Sacramento Kings beat the Bucks and end this misery and 13-game losing streak. That night was not tonight, though. The Bucks win it again, 126-113, 36 combined from Giannis and Drew Holiday. You throw Brook Lopez into the mix there, and you had 53 combined. You throw Chris Middleton into the mix, 67 combined points, 77 points from the starters, 57. More than that, 66 combined from Giannis and Drew. Throw in Brook Lopez, and you had 83 combined. If you throw in Chris, 97 combined. So 107 combined from the starters in this one tonight. Just 19 from the bench, but when you got that productivity, you didn't need much more from the second unit. And again, 13 straight wins against the Sacramento Kings. 2016 in Sacramento, the last time the Bucks lost to the Kings, 2015. On the eve of Thanksgiving in 2015, that was the last time the Kings came to Milwaukee and beat the Bucks. So we'll see if they can run it up to 14 later on this season in Sacramento. And you know, the other part about playing in Sacramento, it's memorable because that was when Brook Lopez finally made his highly anticipated return to the floor last year, March 16th, Stone Cold Steve Austin Day. It was Brook Lopez dropping the stunner on the Kings with his return to the floor after playing in the opener and then not seeing him again until March. So you think about the Kings, you have some fond Brook Lopez memories, and that continued tonight with those 17 points and 9 rebounds. I mentioned the news is not very good in the desert. The Phoenix Suns are getting housed by the Boston Celtics, who just continue to obliterate teams. 116-74 with about 8 minutes left in the game, a 42-point Celtics lead in Phoenix. And remember, Chris Paul missed the last month. He's back tonight. So this is a Suns team that's moving closer to 500, or to full strength, I should say. But the Boston Celtics just continue to crush teams. So when you wake up tomorrow, the Bucks are still going to be two games back of the Celtics for the best record in basketball. And you just continue to count the days between now and Christmas Day for that first matchup of the season between the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. A couple of pieces of news to get you caught up on as we preview the road trip here between the Bucks and the Mavs and the Rockets. But mentioned one interesting thing, and we're moving closer and closer. It's at this point almost inevitable that we are going to have a midseason tournament. There was more talk about that and trying to work in some scheduling tweaks and changes to allow for that in the upcoming new CBA. But also the league announcing, Commissioner Adam Silver announcing it. And by the way, Commissioner Adam Silver in the house tonight at Fiserv Forum to take this one in. But the league and Adam Silver making the announcements earlier today that there will be a new piece of hardware handed out beginning this season. The league is going to be handing out an award for the best regular season team. The best regular season record here will be handed out. The trophy will be called the Maurice Podoloff Trophy for the team with the best record. If we're going to shine a light on that, you just get the impression that there's going to be a lot more moving pieces. We're going to have an in-season tournament. We're going to call attention to all of these things. And think about the way international soccer is, where you have mid-season tournaments. You have a Champions League. We're moving towards more of a model of that to still keep the regular season meaningful and important while also shining the light on the postseason and saying, look, this is where we crown our champions. It's been the biggest issue the league's had the last few years is, how do we keep the regular season relevant? The last few years, not really the best sample size to pull from with the injuries, health and safety protocols, compressed schedules, all of that. It's really diminished it. But doing things like this, it's the league's effort to try and draw more attention to the regular season. So we will get that award handed out for the first time this season. Up next for the Bucks, a Texas two-step. Friday night in Dallas against the Mavericks. Sunday night in Houston against the Rockets. 7 o'clock tip in Houston on Sunday. 9 o'clock tip Friday night. So late night basketball, and even more late night, early morning Bucks talk Friday night following that game. You've already faced the Mavs once. You've already faced the Rockets once. So you wrap up your season series with both of those teams the first week in December. It's a Mavs team that's really started to struggle and continues to hover around 500. A Rockets team you frankly should beat, as we just mentioned. This was a team you should beat tonight. Jazz, upcoming home opponent, or a team you should beat. A lot of those teams you still got on the calendar here in the year of 2022. You got to take care of business in those games. And the Mavs, I would add to that list as well. My thanks to Chris Larson and Tommy Wirtz for producing tonight's show, and everybody else for joining us for the last hour. Talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.